This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Welcome to another episode of the Equity Mates Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Superhero. Over 12 episodes, we're deep diving into some of the most exciting, interesting, and well-known companies from both here in Australia and over in the US. In some instances, we'll be hearing directly from the CEOs to give you first-hand insight into their companies. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm good, Bryce. We often ask our expert investors what's the best company they've ever seen, and surprisingly, it's not Alphabet.
No.
It's not Apple.
No.
It's not Microsoft.
Sometimes.
Oh, it's sometimes Microsoft. It's also sometimes Alphabet. But number one in terms of most given answer in 2021, realestate.com.au.
Yes.
And that is the company that we're looking at today.
REA Group. That's it. Fascinating company, and we're going to dig into it in a moment. So we want to give a shout out to Superhero, who have sponsored the summer series. Superhero allows you to buy Aussie and US shares and ETFs with no monthly account fees, and you can now earn Qantas points with Superhero. So visit superhero.com.au/Qantas to learn more. Eligibility criteria, terms and conditions, and fees and charges apply. But you're right, Ren, REA Group, it's one of those companies that keeps on chugging along and is tied to one of, well, Australia's favourite asset, housing.
Yeah, Bitcoin. I mean housing.
So look, the ticker for REA, if you're playing along at home, is literally REA. You can grab it on Superhero platform if you want to check out more. And just a reminder before we get stuck in that you can win $1,000 into a Superhero wallet to start trading today just by listening to this episode, heading across to the Equity Mates Instagram page at Equity Mates. And for the corresponding post for this episode, just drop in one of your favorite facts from this episode. Ren and I remember every single fact that we talk about. So if you make it up, you're not going to win.
How many companies in Match Group's portfolio?
45.
Well, I think it was 46.
Damn. I was close. But yeah, leave a comment that is one of your favorite facts from REA Group, and we'll choose a lucky winner and announce it on our stories at the end of this week. And you could walk away with $1,000 in a trading wallet at Superhero. So thank you, Superhero. But let's do it, Ren. REA Group, what is it?
Well, Warren Buffett often spoke about buying the only toll road into town.
Yes.
The ability to raise prices, the ability to just tax any traffic that wants to come into that town. Toll roads these days, they're difficult to buy because Transurban bought them all.
Yes, and they're very expensive, very expensive.
But if you were looking for a toll road on the Australian housing market, REA Group is as close as you're going to get. Every house that's sold in Australia pays a bit of a tax to REA Group to for the privilege of being able to be sold. And REA Group sits across the Australian housing market, aggregating all of them and setting the price, really.
Yes. What a wind up.
Toll on Australian property. REA Group, most people know what it is, so I don't think we need to get into too much. It's a property listing website.
It owns realestate.com, it owns realcommercial.com.au, and it also owns flatmates.com.au, and has a bunch of other businesses in mortgages, mortgage broking and product services for property and those sorts of things. So a bit of a conglomerate in the property space.
Yeah. Was started by News Corp, or did News Corp buy it?
I think they took a majority ownership stake.
And then Domain was started by Fairfax?
I'm not tied on that.
Okay, yeah. But either way, News Corp and owns a fair bit of REA Group, and Fairfax owns a fair bit of Domain.
Yeah, News Corp own majority stake, I think 60-odd% or thereabouts.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Probably the only thing that has value in News Corp.
We big time. One of the major contributors to the value of News Corp is REA Group.
Although, anyway, we do News Corp later, because that is a fascinating company going through transition. Whereas REA Group, not so much going through transition, just going through continual growth. It has a dominant market position in Australia, and we will get into the numbers of the REA v Domain a little bit later. But dominant position in Australia, and it's now trying to expand horizontally, so into adjacent products and services. It owns Smartline Home Loans and Mortgage Choice.
Yep.
So it's, I guess, getting into the mortgage adjacency. It also owns PropTrack, which is a leading provider of property data services, but it's just also trying to expand geographically as well. It owns a controlling interest in REA India. It owns businesses in Hong Kong, China, and the US, as well as Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, and Indonesia.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
And another fun fact, the CEO's name is Owen Wilson. He's not the actor, but we are lucky enough to have him on the show to chat about his company at the end of this episode. So make sure you absolutely stick around for that to understand why so many experts think it is the best company that they've ever seen.
Now, we say that Australians love property, but here's how much Australians love property. Think of the biggest online brands in Australia.
Google.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Probably.
Woolworths.
Maybe.
CBA. But,
maybe, yeah. But realestate.com.au is the 8th largest online brand in Australia.
Yeah.
So it is front of mind for a lot of Australians. I mean, that makes sense. Basically, if you're going to sell a property in Australia, you list it on REA, and then most people also list it on Domain. But I think that the real power that REA has, and the reason that a lot of the expert investors we speak to say that REA is the best business, is because REA comes first.
Mm.
Real estate agents list on REA before Domain, and if for whatever reason, if they can only afford to list on one, it's REA Group.
Mm. Given that it's in a bit of a duopoly, poor Domain, they've got a bit of work to do to catch up. So, Ren, let's take a look at the industry, because it is massive. The Australian residential real estate industry is $9.1 trillion, and the market size of the real estate services industry is expected to increase just shy of 12% this year, off the back of growth of 3.5% over, on average, between 2016 and 2021. But it's also an advertising sort of behemoth as well, with just shy of $1 billion in total being spent in that space over the last, 12 months or so.
Yeah. Now, here's a quote from the AFR, and this is this highlights the importance of being clear when you write. I'm going to read you the paragraph. You tell me what it means.
Okay.
The total value, so the $9.1 trillion of residential housing.
Yeah.
The total value of residential real estate in the country is now 28.2% higher than the estimated value of superannuation, the ASX, and commercial real estate, according to CoreLogic data. Now, are they saying superannuation, the ASX, and commercial real estate combined?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, because if that is true, huge. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I would be surprised by that because I mean, maybe.
Super, yeah. Enormous. But yeah. Look, 9.1 trillion, it's a lot.
It's not small.
It's a lot, yeah. Yeah. So, look, there's no doubt that the industry that real estate REA Group is playing in is massive, and we're experiencing some huge tailwinds in real estate at the moment, given, you know, what's happening with interest rates and bank liquidity and that sort of stuff. And, you know, the success of real estate REA Group is often tied to the success of house prices.
And let's be clear why that is. So, in the past 12 months, home values climbed 20%. 20.3% according to this data. If you're selling your house and you're seeing prices rise that much, however much REA Group are raising their prices, you're willing to pay it because the majority of housing searches start on Domain or REA, and then people find houses that they like in the area, then they find out auction times, then they find out who the agent is. Like, it is the first point of discovery in a housing market.
Mm.
And if you're selling and prices are rising so quickly, you are going to pay whatever you need to pay to get in front of potential buyers. That is why I started this by saying they're the toll road on the housing industry, because they just have pricing power. They can say, you pay us or no one will know you're selling.
Mm.
Some people might drive past that for sale sign out the front of your house, but most people don't stop. Most people are like, I'll look that up on REA or Domain later.
Absolutely.
So that is the power of this business. The question becomes, if the housing market starts sliding 20%, how much pricing power does REA and Domain have? Will they be able to raise their prices? The unfortunate thing for us trying to do that analysis is, in the time that REA Group has existed, house prices have never slid. So it is purely academic.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to Owen about this because he actually quoted in their latest results that he believes they actually perform better in a slower market, not a declining market, but a slower market than what we're seeing at the moment in terms of house price growth. Didn't elaborate on that, but I'm interested to understand why.
Let me posit a reason why. So Talk Money to Me, another podcast in the Equity Mates stable. Candace and Felicity spoke to Simon from Lux Listings. And he was talking about the amount of off-market transactions. Because the market was so hot, all of the really in-demand property was just being sold before it even needed to list publicly. And so maybe when a market is this hot, people are just getting above the price that they want, without having to go through any of the traditional channels of REA Group, Domain, auction, open houses, all that stuff. And so maybe when the market's less hot, you need to do a bit more advertising work to get people excited, and that's good for REA. When a market is this hot, people are like, we don't need you. We can sell a house without advertising, without an open house.
Good thesis.
Thanks.
Sounds pretty solid. We'll make sure that we ask Owen about that in a second. But Ren, let's have a quick chat about the duopoly that's going on, because it's definitely a David and Goliath sort of play.
So here, you put David and Goliath in the notes. Yeah. I think that is just the so unfair on Domain. They're not David in this situation. They're like Goliath's younger brother.
They're significantly smaller.
Would you call Coles a David?
No. I think the gap between Coles and Woolworths is not the gap that's between Domain and REA.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, Coles is about half the market value of Woolies?
Well, I mean, not necessarily on market cap. I think if you looked at market cap, probably even bigger. But just in terms of like some of the numbers around it, like the website visits to... Well, firstly, REA was first to market in 1995, and I think Domain was a few years later, 99 or 98. But the web traffic is just phenomenal.
Woolies is about 2.5 times bigger than Coles, about 20 to 50 billion. Domain is 3 billion and REA is 21 billion.
There you go, David and Goliath.
Seven times. David and Goliath.
So in October, this is not unique visits. This has got to be total visits. But in October, this is according to REA Group's report as well, they had 145 million visits to their website.
Okay.
I think that equated to about 3.5 to 4 times the size of Domain.
Okay.
So pretty significant in terms of website traffic. I had a look as well. People spend longer on REA than they do on domain, and they visit more pages on REA than they do on domain.
Okay.
And there are more listings on REA than there are on domain. So to your point, it's the one-stop shop.
Yeah.
If you're going to advertise, you start it. It feels like you started REA Group.
This isn't a two-sided marketplace. You're not buying houses through REA's website. It has the dynamics of a two-sided marketplace in the sense that because it has more listings, more customers are going there to search, and because more customers are going there to search, more people choose to list there if they're only going to list on one place. And so that builds a really strong network effect, which is really hard to disrupt. It's really hard to build that two-sided marketplace because you have to get both customers and listers on. But once you get them on and once you have that dominant position, it's really hard to break.
Really hard, yeah. And for those that love the numbers, I found this interesting. So REA's, 100% digital. Domain, though, still has a few of the newspaper and magazine pullouts.
Yeah, Domain is still in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah. So that's about, contributes to about 10% of their revenue, but the impact of that is on their margins. So gross margins for REA Group is between 70 to 78. Domain's gross margins 56 to 60% over the last few years. So that obviously has impact on the bottom line and cash flow and the ability to invest back into the business and those sorts of things. Mm. So small nuances between the two, but could be impactful over the long term.
Yeah. Some people like flicking through the domain.
I don't mind it. Yeah. It's usually when I'm traveling, that's it.
Yeah. I feel like it's not good for our mental health to look at all these houses we'll never be able to buy.
Well, I found this really fascinating. I think the market's so hot at the moment that a lot of them aren't even putting prices on there.
Right.
So it's just auction or contact seller. And there's, two or three years ago you could, 600,000, a million, whatever. But now it's just contact. They don't want to anchor people to what could be $1 million more.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, we've spoken to a few people who are trying to buy at the moment and they're just like everything goes 30 to 40% over the price guide.
Yeah.
So it's like just tear the price guide up.
Not ideal.
So anyway, housing market's hot, not a surprise. REA, a lot bigger than Domain, somewhat of a surprise. But I think this business is just a beast.
Mm.
And there's probably not a lot more that needs to be said about it. Let's maybe talk about just the financials quickly, just to give people an idea of what it looks like. But then let's jump into the interview with Owen.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I'm pretty keen for that.
Yeah, sure. So as we said, 21.8 billion market cap at time of recording. They've just released their quarterly results for the first quarter of FY21, and they had 22% revenue growth despite COVID lockdowns. Revenue of just over $1 billion in the financial year ending 2021, which was up 14%. $693 million gross profit last year, up 10%, and some pretty strong cash flow with $300 million on the balance sheet.
So off that billion in revenue, they did just over $300 million in profit, $322 million. So pretty healthy margins as well. That's the business. Obviously, 2020, it fell back a little bit. There was a lot of disruptions with lockdowns and all of that. But just powered ahead this year again.
Powered ahead, and we're going to hear from Owen Wilson just after this ad break as to his views on the property market and everything that's going on at REA Group. So stick around for that, but we'll just hear a quick word from our sponsors. So Owen Wilson is the CEO of REA Group, and prior to becoming CEO in 2019, he was the CFO since 2014. Owen is also a director of the Hawthorn Football Club, and we are so excited to have Owen with us today to discuss all things REA Group. So Owen, welcome to Equity Mates.
Thanks very much, Bryce.
So Owen, we love to start these conversations by asking the CEO to describe their company in their own words. So what is REA Group?
Well, essentially, we're a digital property advertising company. We've got about 2,800 employees across about four continents. We are clearly the number one player in Australia with realestate.com.au. We also have the largest commercial business in Australia with realcommercial.com.au and the largest share accommodation in Australia with flatmates.com.au. We've got a majority stake in a business called REA India, which operates the portal housing.com, and another business called proptiger.com, which sells apartments. We've got a 20% stake of realtor.com in the US, which is the number two to Zillow. And we've got an 18% stake in Property Guru in Asia, which has got the number one site by a long way in Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam.
Yeah, wow.
We're also into financial services. I shouldn't have left that off. We originate 5% of the mortgages in Australia at the moment, and we have bold ambitions there. And we also have a data business. At the moment, we monetize that by preparing valuations for banks. And so we've got a lot of property data and consumer data that is a great opportunity for us going forward.
Yeah, I think it's important to stress that REA Group is a lot more than realestate.com.au, and we're excited to unpack some of those aspects of the business today, Owen. But let's stick on that data point, because when we think about, you know, the position that you hold as CEO of REA Group, one thing that you must have is just so much unique data on the Australian housing market. And I imagine it gives you the ability to form some pretty unique insights that we'd love to sort of tap into today. So when you look at the Australian housing market, how do you assess the health of the housing market? Do you think there's anything that, you know, the financial media is getting wrong about the market at the moment? From your perspective, how's it all looking?
The market at the moment is incredibly strong. And as you said, we have an incredibly unique perspective on what's happening. And the primary reason for that is our incredible audience. On any particular month, we have, you know, around 13 million people visit our site. And we can tell from their behaviour on their site whether they're dreaming, whether they're actually in the market to buy. And we track things like visits to properties, sharing of properties, and inquiries off our platform for properties. And so we have probably the most accurate view of what's happening on the demand side for property, which underpins what's really going to happen in the market. And so that gives us a unique perspective. As we sit here today, the market is incredibly healthy. If you looked at that sort of supply versus demand equation, it's fair to say that the demand side of that is still stronger than the supply side. It's why properties are moving incredibly quickly. It's why house prices are still going up. And if you look forward on that, we don't see that changing anytime soon. As recently as October this year, we had record buyer inquiries coming off our site, which shows that that demand is still there. And as we look into 2022, you know, with foreign students returning at some stage, now the borders are open, and, you know, the return of migration into Australia, that's only going to, I think, have an upwards push on demand for property. And therefore, I think the property market is going to stay strong for quite a while. Mm. You couple that with massive bank liquidity and record low interest rates right through next year, I have a very positive outlook for the market. And I think that, you know, you talked about where the market might sometimes get it wrong. I'm seeing people already predicting house prices falling at some stage. Ultimately, if demand is higher than supply, it's very hard to see those prices coming down. And what we can see is the demand side, and that's still very strong at the moment.
That's not what I want to hear. But, you know, what is a dreamer on your site? How do you identify a dreamer? I'm sure I would be one, Owen, that just goes on and plugs in places in Vaucluse to get an idea of what a $25 million property looks like. Is that how you define a dreamer?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm probably classified as a dreamer on our site too. Or a sticky beak, one or the other. I just love to see, I've got so many saved searches, and I just love to see kind of every property that's coming, you know, on the market in my suburb around my price point. Mm. Look, the dreamers are typically on the site a lot. They don't just look in one location. They're characterised by never taking that next step, you know, the next step of saving a property, one of the properties they looked at, or sharing it, you know, with a partner, or more to the point, making an inquiry and going and having a look.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's based on the activity they're doing on the site.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we love the dreamers, because eventually dreamers become buyers.
That's it. You know, that's it.
That is what Bryce and I dream about, one day taking that step.
It's like the pipeline.
Yeah, yeah. Owen, one question we often ask expert investors when they come on the show is, what's the best company they've ever come across? And you'd be happy to know that REA Group is the most common response to that question. And it's pretty clear to see why. REA just has this dominant position in the Australian listing market, which really leads leads us to two questions. The first one is, when you look at your business, really, and the Australian business in particular, how do you think about maintaining this dominant position and ensuring that you stay ahead of Domain or any other competitors that might come and challenge you?
So there's two things we think about in terms of our market leadership in Australia. The first is our audience. And we describe our audience as the air we breathe. It gets maniacal focus on, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, our audience numbers. And so we spend a huge amount of time just continually trying to improve that consumer experience, make it an even more delightful time each time you come to our site. You know, I think we've done pretty well in that, but we can never, ever rest. You know, tech is changing. You've got machine learning. You've got augmented reality. You've got so many ways that we can see the way that people look at property changing over time, and we need to make sure we stay ahead of that curve. The second element is on the customer side, and so, you know, we describe our audience as consumers, and we describe the agents who put the advertisements on our site, the property listings on our site, as our customers. And again, it's making sure we're continually driving value to them with more leads, better leads, more information about the leads, so that they can see the payback of having all the listings on our site, which gives that kind of exchange with our consumers as well. They know they come to our site, you know, and they get, you know, one of the richest property content experiences you can get in Australia.
I guess the follow-on question, if we just think about the domestic market, because we'll touch on international in a second, but where do you see future growth coming from if you have such a dominant position at the moment?
So there's many areas. You know, if you think about our core buy-sell offering, we monetize effectively the sell side through people paying to list properties on our site. But we also know that a lot of people, consumers, come to our site when they're thinking to sell. And again, we can tell by the behavior. They're looking in the sold section. They're looking at kind of historical transaction and information on properties rather than what's for sale. And we've never monetized connecting those prospective vendors with our customers. And yet there's a huge value there. There's still an enormous play on data. You know, we've got the richest property data in the country. We're building out new valuation models every day. And, you know, we see a great opportunity there. Financial services is another one. You know, we currently originate about 5% of the mortgages in Australia at the moment. We see a huge opportunity there, effectively to be the Switzerland of mortgages for consumers. What we want to do is get you the best deal and get it to you the quickest that we can. And so we've got plans to digitise the mortgage process. We've got nearly 1,000 brokers across Australia who can meet with you and give you the advice for free that you need and try and get you the best deal in the market. And so, again, connecting that audience with our finance offering is an enormous opportunity. There's still also, we think, a long way to go on rent. Anyone who's rented a property in Australia will know that there are an enormous number of pain points across that process, whether that be, you know, the way you're liaised with by a property manager, whether it's, you know, coming up with a bond that just sits in an account and does nothing for the years that you're renting. There's so many parts of the process that are painful, and we think we can improve those processes and provide a service both to property managers, landlords and tenants, and make it a much, much more streamlined process.
We did have a rental idea business between our mates, but Owen, if I tell you now, we might have to take it offline because it could be a $1 billion business. Yeah. So
we'll talk afterwards.
Let's talk offline. No, we agree. We're both renters and have been for a while here in Sydney, and there are plenty of pain points, you know, looking at the photos online and then being bitterly disappointed when you get there about the disconnect between what's posted online and the reality. And we had it. What was it called? Rent My...
We'll take it offline.
We'll take it offline.
But Owen, if we turn to the broader REA Group business, because a lot of people often mistake REA as purely a domestic play, but as you mentioned before, you have a footprint across four continents and, you know, you've got some serious growth opportunities in other markets. But as CEO, I imagine that creates a lot more complexity than just managing a purely Australian team. So how do you approach that task of finding these growth opportunities and then building the teams to execute on these growth opportunities outside of Australia?
Yeah, in terms of identifying where to go, in terms of what markets are attractive, there's a lot of things we look at. We look at everything from internet and mobile device penetration, you know, the uptake of data plans, the size of the real estate advertising market in the country we're in, the maturity of the move from of what I'll call old world print to digital, and then also whether we can, you know, there are portals in every country in the world, basically. It's whether we can get a position either at number one or a number two that we think we can take to number one, because, you know, we think market leadership is really important in this space. And so if you take a country like India, for example, where last year we took a majority stake in the company we're invested in, India's the fastest growing trillion-dollar economy in the world. And if you look at, you know, India's propensity to invest in property, they've got a strong kind of home ownership property ethos, a bit like we do. It's a big potential advertising market. And we invested in a business that was probably number two or three, but already, you know, we've almost reached audience leadership position in that country. So we're incredibly excited. The kind of the potential for that market, for property, for advertising, it's a great market, and we think we can add a lot of value there and deliver value for our shareholders. Similarly, in Asia, we sold our business into Property Guru in Asia this year, and we now have a stake in the clear number one in, I think, the most attractive markets in Southeast Asia, you know, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand and Vietnam. And in terms of managing those, it's all about having great people on the ground, people you trust, people who can get on with it, people who understand, you know, how to drive value in these businesses. But and then finding the right connection points between the different markets, because every one of these markets is so different to Australia. And so there are things that translate between markets easily, and then there are others that don't because of the different nuances. And it's about understanding, you know, where to add value and where not to touch certain aspects of the business because it's quite different.
I'm interested to know, Owen, you know, Australians are obsessed with property. It's the Australian dream, buy a house. That's how many, many people have built wealth. And it's just sort of a core of who we are as Australians. Where does that stand to other countries around the world? Like, are we in the majority or are we in the minority when it comes to like our approach towards property?
I would say based on kind of, you know, the markets I've looked at, and I've looked at a lot, I think we would rank, if there was a gold medal at the Olympics, I think we would probably win it hands down as the most property obsessed country in the world. I mean, one of the lenses on that, you know, so in October we had about 145 million visits to our site.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We've only got 25 million people.
I know.
If you take out the kids and possibly, you know, the elderly, you know, who aren't interested in property, that's an enormous interest in property in this country. And you can see it in the amount we spend on advertising our property. We probably present our properties the best of anywhere I've seen in the world. And look, that's great for our business, but it's also great for consumers when they're buying. You see the property presented in a great light. As I said, India has a very strong property ethos. It is seen as a way you will build wealth over time in that country. And similarly in you know, places like Singapore, Vietnam, very strong property ownership ethos in the country, which bodes well for us.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, maybe as well as exporting your knowledge and your tech when you go to these other countries, you also need to export that Australian mentality of buying a home and then buying a second one.
That is something we do try. And one of the things we try to do in each of these countries is uplift the experience.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, if you go on to the, you know, portals in many countries, even in mature places like Europe, And you compare the experience and the way property is presented to here, it looks pretty awful. And we're absolutely of the view that if you uplift that experience, you'll get greater consumer engagement and you just help the whole market. So we do want to take a lot of what we do well here in Australia around property to the offshore markets.
So speaking of offshore markets, REA Group has a presence in the US and we've been watching the recent Zillow saga with a lot of interest. So we'd love to pick your brains and I guess get your view on it. So for people that are unfamiliar, Zillow is a listing site over in the US and they moved into algorithmically buying houses as well as just listing them on their website. And they've recently exited the business after losing a fair bit of money, and now they're trying to sell the houses that they own off. So it was probably a failed venture, but it was a really interesting one at the time. And I know there were some Australian fund managers, some pretty notable Australian fund managers, that were very excited about that business extension for Zillow. So sitting at where you are as CEO of REA Group, how did you view that business extension at the time? And I guess in hindsight, now that it's failed, is there anything that Zillow got wrong about the housing market that that they should have been aware of?
Look, I have to say, you know, we watched that incredibly closely because, you know, if it became the way that consumers prefer to transact on property, then you know, odds are it would have found its way to Australia in some form, and therefore, you know, we watched it from day one very closely. I have to say from day one, I was incredibly sceptical about the ability for that to become a significant earner. And one of the reasons was, you know, it was effectively flipping properties. And, you know, they were buying properties. They were sending a crew in to fix them up and give them a lick of paint or fix anything that needed, you know, repairing. But the reality is, to make money on that, they had to effectively buy it below market from the consumer. And that's a pretty awful consumer proposition, that I'll buy your house off you at below market so I can make some money on it. Now, the proposition was, you know, it was instant, you know, so you got an instant sale. So if you were in a hurry to sell, a desperate seller, you know, it was a service you would probably pay for by taking a discount on your market value. But I think the vast majority of consumers didn't want to do that. And then there's the transaction costs. You know, so, for example, that model, I couldn't see it working here in Australia with stamp duty. Mm, and stamp duty would just blow it out of the water from a profitability perspective. But there's also transaction costs in the US. They were paying agents to sell the property, and so that's about 3% commission. There was the cost of the repairs. There were the taxes. And, you know, they just couldn't turn it to a profit. And so it's a fairly major reversal of a very big strategy to pull a pin on that, having been talking it up for so many years.
Yeah, big change.
Big change.
So, Owen, we have been asking every CEO that comes on about sustainability, a very important topic for the Equity Mates community. So how are you approaching sustainability within REA Group?
We take sustainability incredibly seriously, all aspects of sustainability. I have a view any corporate worth their salt should be taking action. You know, it's on all of us to do this. And we can get frustrated with politicians, but the reality is we can control what we do. And so let's ignore what the politicians are doing, just take action ourselves. So I'm really proud. REA is a certified carbon neutral organisation. We made a decision 2 years ago to do that. We've done that two ways. We have got our carbon emissions reduction targets certified externally. And this year I was really pleased. Here in Australia, we reduced our carbon footprint by 20%. If you even include our new business in India, we still reduced it by 3%. And so, you know, we think we've got a lot to do with that business to bring them on the journey. So we're really pleased with certified carbon neutral, but we're not done. We want to have carbon emission reduction targets going on. We're looking at investing heavily in solar. We've got a very big office footprint here in Richmond in Melbourne, and it's got a perfect kind of format to do that. So we want to work with our landlord and try and reduce the entire electricity consumption of our building. And then, but it's sustainability in all forms. And so, you know, we work with our customers to work out how the property industry can help with this by building, you know, more sustainable building, by advertising those that are better energy rated, and kind of try and force that agenda, because that's where so much of the carbon emissions come from. And then across all the other kind of social environment and governance aspects, we invest heavily in cybersecurity. We're massive on diversity here. You know, I'm really pleased our workforce is 50-50, gender diverse. Our leadership team, well, it can't be 50-50. We're 9, but we're 5 female, 4 male. You know, it's all of the aspects of sustainability are really important to us and our staff. And it's one of the, you know, we have a very young workforce, and it's something that, you know, they would demand of us even if it wasn't important to me.
Good to hear.
Well, Owen, I've got to say, so I'm in Sydney now, but I used to be down in Melbourne working for Coles. And I remember when anyone, there were a couple of people that left Coles to go and work at REA Group, and the overriding feeling was just one of jealousy, I remember, because REA has this reputation, at least in Melbourne, but I assume everywhere, of just being a really great place to work. So we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and you know the business is incredible as well. But the success story to date has been something to behold. But, you know, we're investors today and we're looking forward, and we love thinking long term here at Equity Mates. So if you think about REA in 10 or 20 years' time, what does success look like for you?
Look, our purpose is to change the way the world experiences property. And if you think out 10 years or even 20 years, if we've delivered on our purpose, the way people transact on property, the way people get, find rental properties, engage with landlords and property managers, that will change significantly. The way people get a mortgage will change significantly. You know, we've just launched our loan tracker offering. If you tell us about your mortgage details, sit back and relax. We'll scan the market every single month for you across 3,000 products. And if we find one better for you, we'll let you know and see if you want to do something about it. And so I think the way people interact with the entire property journey will improve and change, and we want to drive that. You know, specifically in 10 years' time, you know, I'd like to think we are the clear number one property portal in India by a long way, you know, with a significant sustainable lead. We originate 5% of mortgages today. We've said, you know, we want to do one in 10 mortgages for Australians, and we want to give them, as I said, the fastest approval and the most choice in the market. So that will change. I think the way people rent properties, if we succeed, as I think we will, it'll be a much more pleasant experience than it is today. And you know, so if we deliver on all of these things, we'll create value for our shareholders, we'll create value for our consumers, and we'll create value for our customers.
Sticking on the question of looking to the future, Owen, you are a director of the Hawthorn Football Club, and Alec and I are massive footy fans. I'm a Bombers man, which will excite you, and Ren is a Swans fan. Who makes the flag? Who makes the final, grand final, 2022? You're obviously going to say Hawthorn.
It's always hard to pick the bolters. So, you know, look, the Hawks finished outside the eight this year. And whilst we've got the backbone of I think our next premiership side, and we've got some great draft picks, it'd be a pretty big call to come from outside the eight to win the flag. So I won't say Hawthorn.
I was expecting you to say Hawthorn, but I respect that.
But we have silverware on our sights in the next few years. Don't you worry about that.
Nice.
So look, it's hard to go past when you sit here at the end of the season, the current premiers. Melbourne were so good.
Yeah.
And they've kept their side together. They've probably augmented it a little bit. It's very hard to see, you know, go past them as a pick. The Bulldogs have recruited well. And so they will be a contender again. And so, you know, you go through that top four from this year, and it's hard to pick one that's going to fall away. You know, even Geelong have picked up another couple of players. So I normally, this time of year, go for the current year's grand finalists. It sometimes works. I picked the Panthers for the NRL Premiership this year at the start of the year because they were runners-up the year before.
Nice.
But, you know, that's where my money would be, probably the Dogs or Melbourne.
Nice. My bold prediction, Geelong don't make top six. That would be. Look, I don't know if that's very bold, but
yeah. No, right. So look, their side's not getting any younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to chuck footy.
Well, we could do another half an hour, but we should leave it. But Owen, we really appreciate you taking the time, and would love to do it again. But in the meantime, good luck with everything as you stretch that property empire around the world.
Very much appreciate
it. Thanks, Bryce. Really enjoyed it.
Well, nice one, Ren. Always great to hear from the CEOs of these companies. Enjoyable interview. So thanks to Owen for making the time.
Yeah, and a big thanks to Superhero for sponsoring this episode. Couldn't do this without you. If you are interested in REA Group or any of the other companies available on the US or the Australian market, you can head over to Superhero and look them up, get more information on them today.
That's it. Remember, head across to our Instagram for your chance to win $1,000 by leaving your favorite fact from this interview on the comment section for the post for REA Group. And stick around for next episode as we head across overseas and take a look at Beyond Meat, one of those companies going into the meat substitute business. So yeah, fascinating company, and we can't wait to pick it up next episode.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.